Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM and 104.5 FM brings to you an encouraging, informative, educational, uplifting program where Christ is the answer and we talk about grace and we talk about the great news. And our first guest this morning is Gary Jones, right? Did I say that correctly?
That's correct.
And Gary Jones is with the Chico Rescue Mission. Now, he's not a worker there. He's been through the program. He helps out there. And I asked him to come on today and give you a little bit of his testimonial background of where he came from and what God's done in his life. So, good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to your change in your life, what Chico Rescue Mission has done for you.
I came from Grass Valley, California. That's where I was raised, grew up most of my life. I came into drinking alcohol probably at a pretty young age, around 16. It's been quite a struggle for me as far as that goes.
In what way?
Well, just progressively getting worse through the years.
The alcohol drinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in 1996, September 7th of 96, I got married to my wife, Christine mm-hmm. Jones. And we had a pretty good marriage for about the first 7 years. And then it just got kind of rocky after that because I was drinking so much.
So it was kind of headed for divorce and kind of headed for a breakup?
It was leading that way. It never got to that bad, but it was kind of headed that way. I was, at the time, working for the fire department.
Doing what?
Fighting wildland fires and structure fires, and I was a first responder.
Oh, okay.
Really enjoyed that. I did that for quite a while, and then we had gotten a real bad fire season 1 year where I had a couple of really close calls.
Near-death experiences?
Yeah. Yeah, there was this one time that I... we were fighting a fire just over by a little town called Bridgeport. It's just outside of North San Juan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the very top of this hill, which they call the head of the fire, is where you're in the front and you're waiting for it to come at you.
Okay.
And I was at the very top, and... we had gotten surrounded by fire, and there wasn't much of a way out.
It was almost like an entrapment, kind of like the alcohol in your life, right?
Right. Okay. And by the grace of God, it just, the wind shifted just at the last moment, and it went the other direction.
So oh, we're praise able God. To.
Praise God, yeah.
So alcohol started right around the 2003 time. When you were going through rough issues with your spouse, right?
Right.
So it escalated and got out of hand. So tell us a little bit about that.
It got out of hand. I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to my wife like I should.
Like a lot of men don't. Excuse me, folks.
And so that kind of made everything kind of not so good because she was always on me, which I could understand why.
Yeah, we get that feeling, don't we? Or married men get that feeling, don't they?
Yeah. In 2010, June 9th of 2010, my wife passed away from a heart attack.
All of a sudden?
Yeah, just all of a sudden when I was at work. And I'll tell you that you never know what you have until you lose it.
So you learned a lot about how much you were really missing after it was gone, huh?
Exactly.
Or she was gone.
Exactly.
So that, what did that do?
That made me extremely, I just went over the edge pretty much and went off the deep.
Go into that a little bit.
I started drinking very excessively. I was hospitalized altogether around four times for alcohol poisoning.
Wow. Four times.
Hospital,
wow.
Yes.
And you didn't die once?
And I did not die.
Wow.
No.
Did that cause you to question why you were still here?
No. The doctor said if I don't stop, then I would die. Because my liver was in very good shape.
Wasn't in very good shape?
No.
Okay. Alrighty. So what else? Continue on.
I ended up going to rehab before I came to the well. It was called Common Goals. It was an outpatient place where you just go for like 2 hours a day, have a discussion on your problem, and then you go home.
So it wasn't really doing much for you.
It was not. No, I would, because it did for about the first 6 months. I was clean and sober, and I relapsed on my 6 month mark.
Okay, folks, you're listening to KKXX 930 AM and 104.5 FM, Christ Today, with your host, Curtis Smith. If you love this show, like this show, give me a call at 894-7325. Let me know. It is important that I hear from you what you like about it, what you don't like about it, if you want me on the air, if you don't want me on the air. I want to hear from you, your feedback. I'm really looking for feedback. So if you can call 894-7325, that would be awesome. Also, there is a tent revival going on as this show is going on, and it will be tonight, which is actually Saturday night and Sunday night, and it will be at 7 o'clock at the Yuba Center Fairgrounds, and it's Mario Morello. And if you have no service going on or you're interested in going out and just being a part of a really good gathering of people that are really excited about the Lord, feel free to show up at the Yuba Center Fairgrounds, and Mario Morello will be there at 7 o'clock. All right, we're going to get back to the program. Thanks for listening to the show. This show is devoted to you guys, and I'm here for you. So, Gary, let's get back to you. So, you were talking before we went to break, so.
Yes. I went to Common Goals. Wasn't doing a whole lot of good. It did the first 6 months until I relapsed, but. I would just go home and drink after I was done.
What was the reason behind that? Stress, relaxation? Was the reason?
Just stress, a feeling that I wasn't really accomplishing anything or getting anything done. You know, I was just pretty much frustrated a lot.
Were you drinking to end your life in a sense? Kind of like silently trying to kill yourself?
No. I didn't want to, I wasn't thinking suicidal thoughts or anything. I was just wanting a party.
Okay. So basically to relieve your stress.
Right.
Get relaxation from it. It was doing nothing but damage to you the whole time, correct?
Exactly.
So then you ended up finding out about the program, which now we call the Chico Rescue Mission in Chico. And how long was it before you found out about, or when you found out about that?
Well, the last real bad incident I had was May of 2014. I wrecked my car. I hit a telephone pole.
Oh, how did that turn out?
I hurt myself, and luckily I didn't hurt nobody else. But I went to the hospital, and then I went to jail, of course, after that.
So
that was pretty much a wake-up call for me. As far as the well, or the Chico Rescue Mission goes, they just changed the name to the Chico Rescue Mission.
Yeah, just recently.
Just recently, yes. And my aunt had did a search on the internet on the computer and found it that way. These rehab places, and she found the Chico Rescue Mission and on Google. So. Drove me up here, got signed up for it, and Larry Mifflin.
Good old Larry, yeah, good old Larry Mifflin.
And David Krissick.
And him too?
Yes, he's a good guy. Told me to just give give them a call each day to see if they had a bed available.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's hard, huh? There's not usually a bed available over there, is there?
It just depends. There's people that come and people that go. So,
anyway. So they had one finally, and you ended up going in?
Yes.
And how did it start out for you?
Well, at first, when I first got there, I didn't want to be there. You know, I was like, man, a whole year of this, you know. And so,
yeah, torture, abuse, prison, right?
Exactly. So, and you know, now I think back on it, and it's like it's the best thing I've ever done for my life. God is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I was saved by Jesus, and I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit.
How did you come to Christ?
I came to Christ when I went to church and talked to.
Which church are we talking about, Gary?
I went to Pleasant Valley Baptist Church.
Okay,
first.
Pastor Rule. Okay.
Yeah, talked to Pastor Rule. And the church I currently attend is a Pentecostal church, which is called Family Life.
Yeah, Pastor Melvin Hill, right across the parking lot.
Right. And
what got you going there instead of PV Baptist?
I think probably the Holy Spirit just drew me in there. You know, I just I felt a sense of peace, joy, happiness.
So a difference in the spirit.
Exactly.
And you've been going there for how long now?
I've been going to Family Life for probably 9 months.
Okay.
Now. Yeah.
So there's been a lot that's happened in your life, and you are a part of, they have different crews out there, the painting crew, the different crews, detailing crew, and you're part of the detailing crew at the wall, right?
Yes. Training over at the detail shop.
And you're only 14 months into the program, am I not mistaken?
I'm at almost 10 months.
10 months, that's right. What was I thinking, 14? Sorry about that.
I have a little over 2 months left.
And then what do you feel you're going to do after that?
Well, after that, I'll probably stay at the Chico Rescue Mission for a little while until I can find my own place. I have to have my knee operated on.
So what happened to your knee?
I have a torn ACL and a torn meniscus.
Did that happen from the car accident?
No, that happened from watching football.
Watching football? How do you mess up your knee from watching football?
I went to go check the scores, and I went running and tripped over a step.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So my team, which is the 49ers, lost the Super Bowl that year.
And they caused you to hurt yourself.
And it caused me to hurt myself.
Oh,
so
I had
a bad year that year.
Yeah, especially when the 49ers, I don't think, did so good that year. That would be a bad year.
Yeah.
So, Gary, what has God really spoken to you since you've been in the well? What has he really helped you with? What are some of the areas that you've been able to overcome in your life, or where you feel like you've gotten some freedom in your life since you've been in the Chico Rescue Mission?
God has helped me out in so many ways. He's blessed me abundantly. You know, I feel more obedient towards God, a sense of love that it just can't really hard to explain, but I just feel fantastic, you know? I love Jesus.
What were some of the challenges that you found yourself going through, or God helped you get over certain hurdles or through certain challenges since you've been in the program? Can you think of any?
Getting over my my past was a pretty big hurdle for me, and I believe that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. So
that's so true. So yes. True.
And the death of my wife was hard to get over that. It's been a while.
Have you gotten healing from that?
Yeah, I've gotten lots of healing from that.
Cool. So. But you still faced nightmares and situations from that, though, where you're still struggle a little bit, have, you know, with that situation?
Yeah, I still every now and then I'll have a dream about our past. And
how does God get you through those times?
I get through this time just by your prayer and supplication, you know, just listening to the word.
Last night, one of the speakers at the rescue mission was talking about peace and joy. So when you're going through that, you find this peace is made real in your life, or
yeah,
it becomes evident?
Yeah, it does. I have a lot of peace, lots of joy now. I'm always happy.
Cool.
You know, just feel really good.
Cool. So you're speaking to listeners out there. They're hearing you. Somebody's struggling with alcohol. Somebody's struggling with drugs. Somebody's struggling with they don't know what to do with their life. What would you say to them? What's on your heart to tell them?
Well, I would suggest if you're having a trouble with alcohol or drugs of any kind, I would suggest that you call the Chico Rescue Mission up.
What's the phone number there? Do you know that by heart?
Yeah, it's area code 530-343-1935.
So give the rescue mission a call. What would you say to them to encourage them to look to God for an answer? Because I know there may be somebody out there listening right now, and you sharing something encouraging to them about looking to God for an answer. What would you say?
Well, I would have to say the best thing to do is seek Christ. Once you seek God, seek Jesus, then He will guide your path to the right choices to make.
I like that. So seeking the Lord will lead you to the right choices, and you'll be able to be on the right path if God is the one you're seeking.
Yes.
So anybody out there, they're looking to seek the Lord, or they're looking for an answer, or they're looking for help, don't only seek God, but also give the rescue mission a call and let them know you. And this rescue mission, ladies and gentlemen, serves men, unfortunately. But, unfortunately for the women, but there are other places where women can turn in town. But if a woman needs help, I'm sure she can call the rescue mission and they can give her a place to call. Right, Gary?
That's correct.
And
you would want to talk to either Larry Mifflin or David Kresik.
Yeah, and they're both really cool men out there at the rescue mission. And what would you say that you see yourself? Where do you see yourself going from here? What do you see God doing with you from here?
Well, I just think that God is going to make me just a better man all the way around, and I'm sure He's got more plans for my life.
Praise God. That's awesome. All righty. One second. Oh. What does it cost to be a part of the program or the men's program? What's the cost?
There is no cost if you don't have an income.
Okay.
There's no cost for that.
Okay. So they basically, it's pretty much a free, take you in for free and feed you and all that.
That's
until
right.
You can get on your feet and stuff.
Right.
And the programs that you're a part of, they help teach you so that when you get out, you're able to get employment, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Anything else on your heart you want to share with the audience before we release you?
Well, I just encourage everyone to seek God, and he will direct you the right path.
That's true. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him.
Right.
Actually, know that He'll find you, because He's never been lost. We're the ones who've been lost. Anyways, Gary, I want to thank you for coming on the program today. I want to thank you for sharing with the audience, and I want to let you know that we're glad that you were on here. And we will look forward to having more men from the rescue mission, and let everyone know that you'll be on the air Saturday. And I'm sure you've been an encouragement to the people out there. So I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to bring on my next guest. So we'll be back after the break, folks. Okay, if you're listening to my show, which is Christ Today, your host Curtis Smith, and you love the program, feel free to give me a call at 894-7325. 894-7325. I really want to hear from you, and I hope this show has been encouraging to you. I hope it's been informative to you. I hope it's been something you've been able to glean from and to gain from. And I hope you enjoy it. And I want to also let you know that, yes, Mario Murillo is in concert Saturday night, Sunday night. So tonight, tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. And anyone and everyone is welcome to come. So feel free to be there if you can. All right, we're going to get back to the program. Well, good morning to my guest number two.
Good morning.
And this is Linda Lyons, and she happens to be a lion from Paradise. Now, she's not going to be lying on this program, but she is a lion with the Chico Lions Club, the Paradise Lions
Paradise.
Club. Okay. Linda, with Linda today, we have a powerful testimony that we're going to share, that she's going to share. And I just want her to tell you a little bit about who she is.
Well, I'm a restaurateur for the last 31 years, that people would know me best for my apple walnut pancakes. But
that sounds yummy and delicious.
Yummy, yummy. They loved it. And as my life unfolded up here in the North State, I'm originally from Southern California, but since 1978, I've been here in Paradise and Chico area. And as time went by, my world got turned around. And I believe, you know, life is a wonderful, wonderful world. But I got a 180 done to me in October 2011. Going into Costco, Walmart, suddenly the fluorescent lights were blinding me, and I had to wear sunglasses.
That was quite an interesting change, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, and I avoided it.
How did you manage to do that?
Well, I lost my business in 2009, mm-hmm. and so I didn't need to go to Costco and the big markets anymore. Kind of went into a little depression because of my business being affected by parking and my customers not knowing that we were open. They thought we were slam busy.
Oh, explain that.
Well, when the Chico City allowed different entities to come into our mall, they needed parking for hours at a time. Customers see all the cars, think that the restaurant's busy. It happened to Genkai also, that they went to other restaurants because they had only a certain amount of time.
Because other
the diehard customers come in and go, oh, we thought you were slam busy. And yeah, our waitresses are standing there.
Because the parking lot was flooded with cars that were
for
something else instead of for your guys' business.
Yes, and the way a mall works is that every 20 to 30 minutes, cars are moving in and out. That's how so many businesses can be in a mall. But if you put other type of entities that need hours of parking, it doesn't work. So I lost my source of income in 2009. And
that must have been a real shocker, a real blow.
Yeah, I went into a little depression.
How did you manage that?
Well, thank goodness my wonderful husband stepped in and took over my bills, except he could not afford my insurance.
Explain that. That's one of the interesting things we want to hear, so get ready to tell us about
it. It was about $500 to $600 on top of the regular mortgages and insurance.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm thinking of something else. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and so as time goes by, the body does talk back. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, I couldn't go into Costco. Then the next stage was we are part of the homecoming up in Paradise, where we bring the young girls and boys around the field and show them off. Mm-hmm. And as I came off the field onto the street of Paradise, suddenly all the headlights coming towards me were like flashlights pointed directly into my eyes.
Oh no, that was really that was a real experience, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, I started swerving. I started slowing down to 5 miles an hour. I looked drunk. I'm telling you, I did.
And, I believe you.
The dilemma was I couldn't pull over because all the cars were parked for the next game. Mm. Cars were coming for the next game. Mm. All I could think of, now I have platforms and stuff on my car, is to get to my husband's shop, which was about a mile away.
Brother.
Which was the longest mile of my life.
So the hand of God was on you during that time.
Yes, and well, someone was honking right behind me.
Yeah. And, wasn't that a story in and of itself? Somebody that knew you or something?
No,
or, oh,
no.
Okay, sorry.
So I finally got to the next street where my husband's shop is and pulled over on that street. The car that had been actually a truck pulled up to the next street, turned sideways, and stared at me. Mm. I'm hyperventilating because I just found out I had night vision blindness.
Okay.
That was how quick and fast it happened. And I get and I realize there's no lights coming towards me, so I can get to my husband's shop. I'm taking things off, and here comes, now I have a 66 Mustang convertible. He rides in with his 64 and a half Mustang convertible with the Paradise cops right behind him.
Mm.
He doesn't know why the officer's behind him. The cop is now looking at two cars with platforms, and he's confused. And he's looking like, okay, did you just have a family parade? No, we just did homecoming, and I know why you're here. And they both turned at me and go, you do? I said, yes, I just found out I had night vision blindness, and I would have called on myself. And I got within an inch of the cop to show him that I was not drunk. Could tell that I was walking straight, and I said, I'm parking that car. You are? I said, yeah, I just got scared half out of my wits, and I'm not pulling it in on that bay. There's a hole in it. You know, I have no depth perception. That's when my husband first spoke up and says, I'll pull it in. So the officer was satisfied, and we went on to meet up with our other friends with their convertibles at the round table and had a funny story because my husband has had a lead foot the last, you know, few years. But he just thought it was the tailgate light or something. So 3 days later, I'm heading to town, and in between that incident, I have now had to cover all my windows at home, put a visor on. The light is just painful, and I can't even watch TV because the colors are radiating at me. It became a radio.
That's quite interesting.
So when I went to go to town, it was in sunlight. Mm. I couldn't stand the light. And my neighbor, grandma, said, you need to go to see Dr. Ninesworger at Eye Life and get your eyes checked. I'm thinking I needed stronger cheaters. So I take this field test that you click, and every time you see a little blinking light, you click. It's 8 minutes on each eye. It was uncomfortable to do it. And I failed miserably. The doctor came in and says, you need an MRI. Could have knocked us over with a feather.
Hmm.
That was actually Halloween, October 31st. And at this time, I'm going to flash back to I have no insurance. So
that must have been quite the challenge.
Yes. And I can tell you that we started shopping around, and MRIs can range from 900 to 3,500 and up.
Wow.
So it took 2 weeks for us to get into a location for the MRI, which happened to be on Veterans Day, November 11th, on 2011. And we received the results. The doctor came back in and sat us down in the semi-darkness And he says, I have to let you know that you have a tumor. And you need to go see Dr. McDermott at UC San Francisco now. At this point, I could only see the big E on the left eye and the fifth row of the eye chart. This is how fast things are starting to change. So we are trying to absorb all this. Your life is changing. He says, would you like to pray? I said, oh, yeah. I'm scared half out of my wits.
You're a believer, so if anything's going to help you, it's going to be God.
The Lord's been in my world all my life, so that's a given. And when things get tough, I always say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Take it from my hands.
He's there for us, especially in the hard crisis time. So 2 days before Thanksgiving, we get down to UC San Francisco, and we're with the Dr. McDermott, and this is a side note, but the guys handle stress in different ways, and my husband is focusing on different things than I am, and he glances at the doctor's shoes, which were nice boots, and he goes, I really like your boots, and we both kind of go, okay, but that's a way that the guys tend to deflect, and the doctor was right on it, and he's going, okay, you have a giant meningioma the size of 6 centimeters, the size of an orange, in the front lobe of your forehead. It's inside. You can't see it. The brain actually moves and it makes room for this tumor. It's a slow-growing tumor, and one of the biggest fears I had was it malignant? And he says 90% of these are benign. I'm going, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a $160,000 operation. And I went on that roller coaster of the high to the low, going, I don't have any insurance. And he just kind of bypassed that and said, when the other eye closes down, you go to an emergency. What he could not tell me legally was that they can't refuse you. I had to find out that from another resource about a week later. So I was on pins and needles for that. So that was the 22nd of November. My other eye shuts down December 5th. We rush myself down to UC San Francisco. I'm now like Stevie Wonder. I can't stand light. And I have stuffed my sunglasses with napkins.
So it was really, really bad for you at that particular moment.
If I don't have this operation, I'm going to be blind. So, and this is all happening in like 5 weeks. And so we get there, and my husband realizes he's got to go get my license to check us in. So he leaves me in the lobby, and of course I can't see well, so I'm feeling my way over to the wall, and as I'm feeling, I run across a wheelchair, and I hear a voice go, that's my wheelchair, and I'm going, I'm just looking for a wall, and they see Stevie Wonder, and they go, oh, I'm sorry, so I got a little taste of what it feels like
to be blind,
And I can, once it's semi-dark, I can peek out, and I see there's like 30 people in the lobby. There is a guy in front of us that had been throwing up. I can hear very well. And he gets sent in real quick. My husband comes back, and as I'm about to sit down, another gal slides in, and I peek out, and she's got Kleenex stuffed up her nose, and my husband stands up and goes, excuse me, my wife was here before you. And then she sees Stevie Wonder, and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. And she gets out, and the nurse goes, oh, don't worry, she's here every day. And kind of I'm quizzical about it, and then put two and two together. We're in the homeless area, and they have to create a new reason to come in to get food and roof over their head, and possibly drugs. So.
And you were anything but homeless.
No, I had a support team of many. And so my husband says, this is my wife. She's a patient of Dr. McDermott. And the nurse goes, oh, you're a patient of Dr. McDermott? Come right in. I went, wow, this is like Wizard of Oz. The door's just open. Mm-hmm. Well, I realized that he's the top neurologist in the country.
Wow.
I was so blessed between having one of the top ophthalmologists, Dr. Nineswanger, connect me with the right doctor. And then they found a room for me at first. There was no room at the inn. It was several hours.
Kind of like Jesus, no room at the inn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my thought pattern went. And the doctor did not know I was coming in at that point. So they connected me with his team. They did a staging area and started doing all the tests, getting me ready for another MRI the next day to see if the tumor had grown in the month. To do an angiogram to find out how the tumor was being fed, which dictates how they're going to address the surgery. The brain and the pituitary was feeding my tumor.
Wow.
Once they knew the brain was feeding it, they could not use radiation as a technique. So
that was kind of a...
The options got limited.
Against you, yeah, become unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited.
So as it was, then the doctor came and set me up for December 10th. It was a Saturday. Estimated surgery, 12 to 14 hours. Going to end up doing 100 stitches across the front area of my top of my head.
So you were pretty stitched.
Very stitch is one of the longest stitches that the other ophthalmologist had to undo.
Wow.
He had to crack me open, peel me down. Sorry, people.
Yeah, folks, don't go throw up. Yeah.
And, yeah, the doctor afterwards is telling us this in front of my two daughters that were both pregnant, and one was starting to lose it.
Oh, no.
And then I was trying to pause him.
Yeah, yeah.
And as it was, he had to take my olfactories, which is your smell, to get into the brain for the tumor. But one of the first miracles was that instead...
There we go. You're telling me this is good. Okay.
There's my miracles. There's miracles. That it was only 7 hours instead of 12 to 14 because it just released itself. The tumor just released itself.
I'd say that was God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he came in different ways.
Yes.
They also, I got a seizure in the middle of the operation. I found out, Viva, my mom, my sister heading up to Oregon, and my friend here in Paradise all got shivers up and down their arms. And they're in different locations. My sister and mom were in the car, but they looked at each other and got the same feeling. And they sent prayers. And there was people doing chain prayers everywhere. People I didn't even know.
That's what happens when people love you.
It was wonderful. As I got to find out, the community in Paradise was doing fundraisers for us from the Moose, to the Boy Scouts, to people that I used to feed, to people I didn't know. Prayers were going everywhere.
For those of you that say miracles can happen today, you're seeing a miracle that is happening.
Yes.
It did happen today.
Definitely, definitely. And again, I did not know if I was going to wake up being a vegetable. They're in my brain. So as the... I got into the ICU, I woke up and looked around and I could see the clock. And then I'm alive. I'm so happy. That's all I kept saying. And then as people came in, I said, it's 11:04, it's 11:06, it's 11:08.
You were able to see.
I can see. I was swollen. But I also, the other side part of the story that was huge, because I ended up thinking it was part of the hormones of my, as I get, you get older, I was 220 pounds.
Part of the change going on.
Part of the change that was one of the symptoms that I didn't know about the tumor. Mm. And so as I recovered and at home, I started changing my way of eating and got rid of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Sweet and Low. Those are all chemicals. Eating more veggies, and people were sending me all these strawberry dip chocolates. It's Christmas time that I had my surgery, December 10th, and the drugs that had me, they had me under, had side effects. They wouldn't let me sleep. Mm. And so I was cleaning closets and desks and 2 a.m. in the morning and clean house. Got a clean house.
Janitor when everybody else is sleeping.
Yep. But 9 days after the, on Christmas Eve was the last time I took the actual medicine. And then 9 days after that, at 1:30 in the morning, I could see for about an hour. And
wow.
I started screaming and yelling,
people,
and my husband ran down the stairs.
What's wrong with you? What's going on? What's going on?
And I'm going, I could see, I'm so happy.
It wasn't wrong, it was right.
Yeah, but then it would close up because I've got steroids or something, that back and forth. So as it was, time went by a little bit, and I'm having to handle the hospital bills. Now, I'm in that hospital for 8 days. Again, no insurance. The bill comes, and it's like $215,000 reduced down to $188,000 for uninsured. So I open the bill, and it's 10 pages long. I look to the bottom, and patient owes 00. I turn the page. Patient owes 00. So I'm going, okay, it must be on the back last page. Patient owes 00. I fall to my knees. I'm praying. I'm thanking the Lord, but I'm afraid to call. I think it's a mistake. So I call my friend that works at another hospital in Arizona, and she said, you went to UC San Francisco, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And that's a nonprofit hospital. I said, yeah. So to keep their nonprofit status, they accept so many patients a month, and they have accepted you. Oh, my God. I'm calling my husband.
You were overly excited.
Oh, I'm in tears. He's pheasant hunting. And
yeah, tell us about that.
He just finished pheasant hunting. And just as I'm telling him about this bill, I hear a huge whack on his side. A dove had hit his windshield. And what was that? That's okay. The Lord must come here, you know. And he says, oh, my goodness. And I said, well, you got a dove at it. He says, that's not what my license is for. I can't take it. So, a little humor in the middle of it.
Yeah.
He got his pheasants, though. We have a lab, and he gets to enjoy that. So, and then I was calling the different agencies for our bills that were coming in. But my surgeon only charged me $3,200. That was the next miracle.
Wow.
He has to pay his anesthesiologists and the team. So we had thousands of dollars of bills. But I got on the phone. Even though I couldn't see well, I could still talk.
This is awesome, folks.
I could talk. And my husband came home, and I go, well, I just made $30,000 today. Got our bill reduced down because I knew I could not work.
And this made the husband happy.
Oh, I did my part. I was holding I've worked all my life since I was 12. And
so you felt kind of hopeless not being able to do anything.
Yeah, I've been very, very independent all my life. Mm-hmm. And this is a whole different role for me to ask for help. People, my friends and family were coming down, and I could not take showers and maneuver around the house easily while I was recovering. As I was getting a little better, my neighbor, grandma next door, I call her and go, oh, my God, there's a snake in the house. And it was the electric cord. Oh, there's a spider on the wall. It's the nail. So, yeah, a little bit of leeriness and awareness for people that can't see. It's hard, but I appreciate, even though I lost the sense of smell, I have now 20/30, 20/40.
This is awesome.
Take that world over, not being able to see, but I wanted to give back. And as I came into one of our events in our town about 3 months after my surgery, I was met with a sense of reunion with so many people that I had been involved with throughout my life. I did not realize how many people I had touched, and they wanted to give back. But we ran into two of the clubs, the Lions Club
Paradise. Talk about that. Go ahead.
There's two clubs, the Host Club and the Business and Professional Club, and they both wanted me to join their club. Once I found out they are Knights of the Blind, Crusade Against Darkness that Helen Keller had challenged them in 1925, I felt that this was a calling for me. Of course, my last name being Lions.
Lions in the Lions Club.
I'm the triple L, Lion Linda Lions. They embraced me fully. I was able to connect with so many people and know that volunteer work is the best thing for reaching out and saying thank you in so many different ways. And the Lions have a saying, we serve, just ask.
Yes.
It's just not about vision.
No.
It's a way that we can make our community work better, healthier.
Function better. Yeah.
Function better.
And I want to ask you a question. So with what God did with you and how he brought you into the Lions Club, he's now not used you, but given you a desire to help somebody else.
Yes.
That is, in a sense, worse off than you were. But in a sense now, because of what God did for you and connecting you to the Lions Club, you've been able to help in that situation. And I want you to talk about that a little bit.
Well, there was a combination. After I came off the surgery, I lost 80 pounds in 8 months and then 15 more pounds after that, so 95 pounds. So I would tell my story. The people go, oh, wow, how'd you lose the weight? So, all right. And I kind of clarified that I almost lost my sight, but okay. It opened the door also to let them know to listen to your body, because I never had a headache. And also not to live in the past and not to live in the future, live for today. Mm-hmm. I also work.
That's important.
Very much so. I work with a prayer of Jabez.
Yeah.
I elaborate on it, and I'm going to say my version.
Go ahead.
Bless me now, Lord, bless me now. Expand my territory to bring your love, your guidance, your wisdom, your healing hands to myself and others. Keep me that your hand is on me. Keep me from evil, and may I not cause pain to others or myself. I add those two. We forget about ourselves. And if we can do that.
Not to bring harm to yourself.
Yes. So as time went by, one of my very good friends was diagnosed with cancer of the skin, also misdiagnosed with macular degeneration. She thought she was going blind. She was devastated. And I said, hey, you know, I'm part of the Lions. Let me see what they're about. I'm still a new Lion at that point. So I got hold of our district governor, who is blind. And he said, we have a humanitarian grant program that for
which
low,
is a good thing.
Yes, for low income. And if you can combine your clubs to donate some money, so I proposed to both my clubs, 250, 250. Well, she needed special toric lenses. Once they re-diagnosed her to having astigmatism and not macular degeneration, because a second opinion was what saved her.
Yes,
think?
Yes.
And she believes in
it's
the
always
Lord.
Good to get second opinions.
Definitely.
Yes.
So, and I just had a pull that day to go and see her. It was just one of those inner things that the Lord was sending me.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got to have the surgeries with her last July, she has now got 20/20 and seen the Milky Way for the first time in her life.
Cool.
It was such a wonderful feeling to know that you can open somebody's world again.
I was thinking about that boy, the situation about that boy.
Then we have Justin, the 9-year-old boy.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, our Lions Club in Chico handed us this young boy and his family when they moved to Paradise. They're on Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal only will fix your glasses once a year. Well, being a 9-year-old, he likes to play around, and he broke his glasses. But they only fixed the glasses and did not take the scratches out of the glasses. So kind of missed the point.
Yeah.
We have a program for low income through one of our members, Dr. Runick, that does eye exams and glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You fill out a application and we give it to him, and there's a certificate. That
listeners, this is for you. If you have an eyesight problem, a vision problem, and you need help, find a way to get a hold of a Lions Club and let them know, because they want to help in that area, also with cancer and diabetes, and they will help you. They have ways of helping, but they need to know there's a need, and when there's a need, they'll come in and they'll help. So go ahead, Linda.
Yes. So as this developed, that's usually where we stop. But as we found out, my husband has a lube shop, and one of his customers had a CDV. I'm not never quite sure how to say that. It's a magnifying machine.
Mm-hmm.
And their relative didn't need it anymore, and they heard about this young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took it over to his house. He was totally thrilled, wouldn't come out of his room because he could magnifying all his little cars and stuff. Well, the district governor went to visit, and he found out that it was on the ground. They didn't have a table or a chair. So I got hold of my other club, and we got that, and we took that over. Then the governor found out he didn't know his ABCs or 1, 2, 3s. He's mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So through another resource of mine, I connected with a retired special ed teacher.
Who's now tutoring him, correct?
Yes. And then also we passed the cap around at one of our Lions events and collected $566 and I bought a iPad for the young boy that can speak and put apps on, and
awesome.
He can learn off it. And so there's a camp also, that enchantment camp in San Francisco for young people that have the like type of challenges. And they can go there. There's a certain cost and stuff, but it's reasonable, like $60 for a whole week. I think the family's involved. It's another area that is a helpful tool. So
that's
all
good.
These things are happening, and I have been well and very in good health, I'm telling you.
Awesome.
I am thrilled to be here and so happy to share.
So, people out there in Paradise, if you're looking for a club to get involved in, you're looking for a way to volunteer or serve, the Lions Club is the largest service organization out there. Our motto is we serve. Our desire is to help as many people as we can to either overcome diabetes, overcome cancer, or to see and not go blind. And we help people in a lot of different ways, but we need help. The Lions Host Club meets every other Tuesday. Which Tuesdays is that? On 7 o'clock at night? Which Tuesdays is that?
The first and the third at Cozy Diner.
And then our club, which is the Business Professional Club, for anybody up there that's interested in checking it out, is the second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
At noon
at the Cozy Diner.
Yes.
And so we want to welcome you guys and encourage you guys to come out and find out about us. Or Google LCI on the computer, Lions Club International on the computer, and find out about us, because we're always looking for ways to help. And that's what God's called us to do. Part of our, it doesn't have to be necessarily serving in the church, but finding something good we can get behind and we can help with, that's an effort trying to reach people, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And as a believer, I had somebody ask me yesterday, well, can I share with people? Well, when they know you care, they're going to want to know why. Yeah, definitely share with them. But we don't push religion, we don't push church, but we go out and we serve in the community, we help. And if people ask us about our faith, we're more than able to talk about it. And I would encourage you guys out there, look into the Lions Club. There's also one in Chico. And Linda, you wouldn't have been a Lion if it wouldn't have been for all these other circumstances, wouldn't you? Would have you?
No, and there's one more story that I didn't know until a year ago. My dad was blind in one eye. I found out, I thought it was a stick or something, but it was when he was 3 years old, he tumbled out of a family member's arm and fell on his one right eye, and it stopped developing. Hmm. Well, he adapted. He became a driver instructor, but he's always felt his confidence was not high. And they came up with a new lens in 2007 that was $1,000, couldn't afford it. Well, the Lions in Oregon stepped up and gave him the money, and he got the lens, and it was the first time he ever saw my mom clearly with both eyes.
Wow. See, people?
Yeah.
This is something powerful.
He only got to use it for 1 year, and he passed away, and my mom was able to donate the lens and all his eye care back to the Lions to give it to other people.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. All right, anything else you want to add or share?
Well, everybody, the Lord's out here, and if you just ask, and he will show his true love to you, and just give it to him. I did. It works.
Yeah, the love of God far surpasses anything we can see, hear, or imagine, or we can believe, and it changes us. As you heard in both testimonies, one whose life was spared from alcoholism, the other one who was healed of a brain tumor, of eye problems that could have gone blind, and yet God didn't just show up and do one miracle, he did several miracles. And, you know, it's really awesome to hear what God is doing in the lives of people in our area. So we're going to get with you next week again. We will be back on next week on 104.5 FM, 9:30 a.m. And we will be discussing next week with a guy out of Gridley. His name is Patrick Burgess. He will be on the air, and he's got some interesting things to share. So we will turn back in next week, and have a great week, and God bless.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.